PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome to another episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on social media, Twitter, at Canadan Golf. And with me is Rob Miller, aka at Rob Miller Time. Rob, welcome back for episode 3.
Can you believe it? We're here. They're still letting us do this.
I'm shocked. I'm excited. We have a hodgepodge of awesomeness on tap for today. And I want to hear, how are you? Because I know your world just changed a lot over there on the East Coast.
Yeah, the first topic that we're going to jump into is golf opening everywhere. So that includes New Jersey in just 2 days, which is pretty amazing. But there's an asterisk, of course, because it's New Jersey. And we have red tape and bureaucrats and all that kind of stuff. So obviously the rules to restart golf in New Jersey were not made by someone who actually goes out and golfs. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but I am excited to put my Square shoes on for the first time on the course. So I want to remind everybody that today's podcast is sponsored by Squares, S-Q-A-I-R-Z, which is a really cool performance-based golf shoe for the modern swing that provides comfort, balance, and a ground connection and alignment on every shot. They got square toes. It's pretty neat. Check them out at www.squares.com, which is S-Q-A-I-R-Z.com. I finally get to wear them. Sides behind the mic right now.
Yeah, you're due. I would not be surprised if you're wearing them right now based on the excitement you portrayed about golf in general.
Let me tell you, the number. So here's our topics today. We're doing golf opening everywhere. We'll get a little into the raised cup, lower cup, maybe what's better, leaving the flag stick in and the tour reaction to that. And we've got a bit about Kirkland signature news. It's not about maple syrup, although it can be.
It's the small batch bourbon that I am so excited to talk about.
About Kirkland small batch bourbon. I think they make the best chocolate chip cookies, hands down, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know if we'll go there, but we've got all that. And then whatever we go off course on for this episode. So let's dive right in. Golf opening everywhere, including the most important place where I am, New Jersey. Everybody's been waiting for. They finally said, hey, we're going to open parks. We're going to county level, state level, and golf courses. Thank God, because, you know, if there is one sport where you can enforce social distancing, it's golf. So I was very excited, ready to go out in my club, re-up for the year. It's a non-equity club, so you just play some yearly dues. And then go out there, and then the details emerged. The details emerged today, and it's all kind of bittersweet. So basically, yeah, you have to call pro shop. You have to make a tee time. Nobody's allowed as a walk-on. That's fine. But they're only letting out jersey-wide a twosome every 16 minutes. 16 minutes, which is just mind-boggling. And on my course, because the demand is expected to be high, we're limited to 9 holes only.
Now, that's something you didn't tell me. I read about the twosomes. I read about 16 minutes, which, you know, the big math in me says just over 3 twosomes an hour.
Yeah, what is it, 6.8 golfers or something like that? I don't know what it is exactly.
And you can only play 9 holes.
You can only play 9 holes for the foreseeable future.
I don't think, maybe the 16 minutes is unique to New Jersey, but I don't think the twosome is unique to your state alone. I believe there are other states implementing something similar. I'm not sure if Illinois is one of them. I know they're making some changes up there. And I believe Michigan has already made changes as well. We've got a good friend, moderator over on the THP forum, JD Talks, who has been dying to get out there. It's pretty entertaining to listen to. Being from Ohio, being able to go out there and golf. But Rob, I'm going to look at this in a little bit of a different way, in that currently in Ohio, we are foursomes every 12 minutes. And I belong to a private course with right around 300-ish members, full golf members. And even with a 12-minute tee time interval with four guys going out each time, it is next to impossible to get a tee time right now. And we're talking 10 days out. We're not talking day of. We are talking 10 days out. Do you think you'll play golf more than once before June?
And not under that current rate. I called this morning for a good 30 minutes and got voicemail every time, you know, just to before I knew the full rules. So I don't see it happening in a good way. I have buddies that have gone across the border into New York and they did not have a 9-hole restriction. I forget where the I don't know the rules on twosomes or whatever, but where you brought up earlier in Illinois, I think it's 15 minutes, but I don't know if it's twosomes or not. But other places, it's similar to what you described. Some are threesomes and so forth, but no one is 16 minutes. I mean, you couldn't make it 15 minutes just to make it easier on everybody in the world, you know, like that very simple. They couldn't even do that. So right now, if you're at a private course, like say for a rounded thing, say I have I'm re-upping my non-equity club membership and I owe $1,000 this month to start up again. So how often am I going to get out? Four times, maybe, you know, unless I try to really push on weekdays or something, but there's probably such high demand. So say I get out four times in May, that's a $270 with the walking fee, a round of nine holes.
I was going to say, not even a round. Yeah.
That's rough. And there's no facilities. It's not, I've heard different states, the private clubs, you'll remove the range, every other range mat, something like that. So you can warm them up or whatever, however they do the stations. With us, you can be on the first practice green, which is massive, 10 minutes before your tee time. And there can only be four people on that green at any one time. So there's a lot of restrictions right now. So it's kind of like, it's like giving the keys to a Ferrari, but you can only drive to the library once a day, maybe. That's like it. I'm ready to get back into it and finally get outside and golf again. And this is what we're dealt.
So our course actually still has a range facility and practice green facilities closed, even for those who are preparing to go out. Now, I've been pretty aggressive about my tee times and arriving the minute of. Now, I'm fortunate that I'm only 5 minutes away from my golf course, so driving over there is not a big hassle. But I was sitting back the other day thinking about really how aggressive they need to be, especially something like a putting green. I kind of get it, more so because more footprints, especially if that hole's cut, then you're reaching in, the potential for that increases, but there are also ways to avoid that. So I was sitting back thinking, are we being overzealous in what we're not allowing our members to do? Now my course is constantly evolved with the health department, county officials, making sure they're doing everything they can to stay open, let alone using the things that are being expected of them by these locations to not create a problem. But then I think at the time I was looking at, well, there are other states who can't even golf right now. So I shouldn't be greedy. I should be grateful with what I have. So what do you think is realistic? And especially as this continues on, as our world changes, what is realistic? I'm assuming you don't think twosomes every 16 minutes is realistic.
No, that's not realistic at all. I look years ago when golf was on like a downturn, I'd say maybe it was around 2008 or something when it was like, you know, economic troubles and so forth on for some private courses. There's a club near me, Morris County Country Club, a private course that's 130 years old or something. It's a beautiful place. They found that rounds were down. So to incentivize the membership, they started doing twosomes for the first hour. They did it every 5 minutes and people were finishing in 3 hours. Now they either have a cart, but they had caddies. I will give them that. So probably you're talking about a membership that's, you know, fairly good golfers, but they were finishing quickly. So the first hole on my course is a downhill par four. It's only like 350 yards. You're telling me that I have to, someone finishes in, Twosome finishes out in 8 minutes. I have to wait another 8 minutes before I can tee off. You know, it just doesn't make any sense, especially for a private facility. For public facilities, I can understand wanting to be overly cautious, because we've all been there where people are milling about. I mean, they even do at our club as well. It depends on your setup and so forth. But having to have a tee time, that makes total sense to me. I just don't see how you can't do twosomes every 10 minutes and it's a totally different thing. You know, for our place, I guarantee that would work. There is actually a group of people that go out sometimes first as a sixsome. It's all one family. And every shot is like a green in regulation. I mean, they're really good. They're cheering and they never hold anybody up. Now that can't happen. And if you're immediate family, you can, or in a romantic relationship. So I don't know how that's going to change things.
That could get a little bit weird based on some of the stories I've heard.
That could get dicey to go out as a foursome. I think you could go at twosomes at 10 minutes without a problem. If you want to be cautious, make it 12. That's fine.
Does it need to be limited to two? Can you not social distance adequately as a foursome?
I guess it's a little more difficult, but if you're all in separate carts or walking separately, you can do it. I mean, it's pretty simple to do on a golf course. There's plenty of places to go.
It is pretty simple. And you know, Rob, I remember there was one weekend here in Ohio when they shut it all down, and it happened to be the best weekend of the year. So of course we're all extremely salty about it.
Yeah. Wonderful. Now,
my family and I went down driving through the local downtown, not the big Cincinnati downtown, the local downtown here in my suburb. And there were people everywhere, almost side by side, walking down the paths at the parks. And I'm thinking to myself, you're telling me we've seen the size of a golf hole, right? It's big. And you can't put four people comfortably in a golf hole area. You mean to tell me there has to be two of them, but this is okay? You know, the double standard, it almost feels like, just because we have the opportunity to go enjoy ourselves. And especially speaking from a private club, our members do a pretty good job of keeping each other in line. And there's certainly been times when I've been out and I've had to step back, because sometimes we forget, you know, but I don't think it's that hard, especially from a private club perspective, when everyone has each other and the best interests in mind. I don't think it's that hard to social distance four people in a tee time.
Yeah, I mean, you've experienced it. Have you come across anything where someone isn't socially distancing on the golf course properly? And then what did you do about it?
Yeah, so I think everyone has a different perspective as what's going on right now. And we're all at our homes taking care of ourselves and our families. And especially when you're playing with good friends, you have a pretty good sense of what they're doing with their life. So the guard goes down a little bit. As someone who represents a couple boards at my golf course, I'm not going to be the person who has a health official drive by and ruin it for everyone else. I have no intentions of being that guy. So I always consistently make sure there's 6 feet between me and others. And frankly, for my family, I do it as well. Yeah, there's a little bit of gray area there, but are we not all doing enough right now to say at least one person in the foursome is going to make sure that everyone's acting appropriately, so that they can continue to play the game they love?
Yeah, I understand wanting to have an abundance of caution. You're right. And going into a downtown on a nice day, there are people everywhere. Now they have masks on. A few weeks ago, people didn't have masks on, you know, but this weekend for the last 2 weeks, New Jersey parks have been closed as well. So I was just trying to drive to the food store this weekend and come back. There was maybe 30 people of multiple families on bikes, basically blocking the road, like trying to go up this hill because they have nowhere else to go. right? So now you're pushed out onto streets and things like that. So now that parks are going to be open as well, there's a bigger, I understand wanting to be cautious, but there's a bigger chance, a much greater chance of somebody passing along this bug in a crowded park situation than on a golf course. You know, then four people on, I mean, I don't even know how big the average golf hole is, but it's much bigger than a park walking path. I will tell you that much.
Yeah. And that was the thing I realized. I think anyone who's going to go out there and not be concerned with the social distance orders or requests that are being made, it's not going to be any different when they go home. I remember 2 weeks into this whole thing, I walked down my neighborhood and there was a group of probably 15 or 20 neighbors all put together at the bottom of a driveway. And I just sat back and laughed. I
said, no social distancing, nothing.
I give them somewhere between 2 and 5 feet between each individual, just gathered in, hanging out, having a chat. And to me, it's like, you know, I get it, but you're going to block golf, but then do nothing about this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's plenty of places where that social distancing is not being applied. So, and you would never know that it was being applied. I think right now courses, knowing my state and knowing how cash strapped they are and starved for violation revenue, right? Because there's all kinds of different things. There's not people driving on the road, so there's less toll breakers, there's less people to pull over, that kind of stuff. So if they find out that a course is not adhering to these policies, I figure they would find them because they know they get the money out of them. But I think for me, say I was, a public course, is there enough incentive there for me to even open? Because right now I'm just doing maintenance, right? You're doing some ongoing maintenance, but it's not heavy maintenance. Like, you don't have to rake the bunkers every day if you don't want to, right? You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cut every once in a while and this and that, but there's no wear and tear on the course. Should I even open? To make 6.8 greens fees per hour? Is that mm-hmm. somewhere, is that something that's feasible? I don't even know.
In New Jersey, it feels a little bit weird. That's for sure. I was thinking from Ohio. I think we're at a place now here where that does make sense to open. From a state like yours, I don't know. But the nice thing is, Rob, that we are going to see this continually evolve and change. I saw some weird information coming out. RNA was involved. Other groups were involved talking about different ways to alter the experience. And they're talking about stuff about leaving the rakes out of the bunkers for longer periods of time and cutting two holes into the greens and having two separate tee markers. And now I'm starting to think, are we getting like way, way ahead of ourselves here?
Yeah, it's like the XFL of golf. Is that what we're doing here?
We're just going way beyond what it needs to be. When all that really needs to happen is we all just need to respect what's happening from a global perspective. And this is kind of a PSA, just do the right thing. I mean, don't ruin it for everyone else. Let's enjoy the game we love in a respectful manner to where everyone else benefits.
Yeah. And a shout out, special shout out to my brothers up there in Vermont and New Hampshire and Massachusetts who are still feeling the pain and their core. I'm sure there's a couple other states that are closed. I forget what they are, but I definitely get a lot of back and forth on Twitter because I've been pretty vocal about this. So let's end with that topic with glass is half full, right? And say, yeah, I might get a miracle tee time and be ready to go out there Sunday. I have no idea yet, but if I do, you know what I'm looking at. I actually, I'm not sure if it's the lowered cup or the raised cup, but we're entering, we're in the raised cup hole in one era in golf, right?
Yeah. So we're in kind of a couple of weird places because my course has the PVC pipe in place. So what that means is there's a PVC that sits, so it has some rebound effect on the ball and the ball still wraps pretty well, but we've definitely seen the ball kind of bounce off it, roll up and out. But I will take that every single day over a raised cup. You mentioned some of these videos we're seeing. There's an incredible amount of controversy over hole-in-ones, which I don't understand.
Yeah, the hole-in-one, the most important, well, I guess maybe it's the second most important word in that is hole. You know, so you have to go in, it has to go in the hole. You know, that this, so a raised cup hole in one is just not a hole in one. Years ago, I participated. I played nine holes with Justin Rose at a hack golf event down at Reynolds in Lake Oconee, and it was awesome. I mean, we had a blast. So if you remember hack golf, that was some TaylorMade and PGA of America, I'll call it a concoction, to where how to grow the game of golf. So think differently. It had a, you know, a double meaning, and there was the first idea they had was a 15 inch cup. And the cup was, 15 inch round cup with a sand in the bottom. And one of the reasons, I was talking to the guy from Parade who was making those, and he said, you know, they needed to figure out if a ball flew in, how do we get it to stop? So it was a sand filled and I think a little bit deeper. And believe it or not, we shot like absolute crap. We could not make a putt. I'm probably the only person on earth that has lipped out two putts on a 15 inch cup. Now these were 25 feet away, but it's funny because with your eyes, you kind of see break regardless, because it's how you're trained as a golfer. But anyway, you could, if you wanted to, you know, you just slam the ball as hard as you want and it'll drop in as long as you hit it straight enough. Same thing with a raised cup, right? That's not a hole in one. Sorry. If you want to go that, if you want to be that guy, then fine. You're that guy then.
I'm going to one up this. There is an image out there and there's been debate on social about it. It is a raised cup and the ball is resting on top of the cup. Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
Yeah. So that thing is it one hopped and is sitting in on / whatever the cup that is upside down. And people are saying that's not a hole in one. What's your take there?
Well, I guess, I mean, it just depends on how you look at it, because in a way, I mean, it's there. It's what you're given. Is that what you're supposed to do? No. So you don't know what that ball would have done if there was a hole there. That's the problem.
I'm telling you right now, buddy, if that happens to you and I find out about it, I'm going to send you the ball on a plaque and we're going to place a TPC Sawgrass flag right behind you now with this incredible plaque of a hole-in-one bouncy in ball. Okay.
Big photo. It's probably, I mean, if you want to count as the hole-in-one, it's the toughest hole-in-one probably to get.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It should be like a hole-in-0.5. You know, you should get a handicap for getting that hole-in-one.
That's, I mean, it's amazing for that to happen. I wonder if it's flag stick and drops or something or whatever, but
just pure skill, man. I don't know.
I've not seen that yet. That's a good, I mean, I might say that, yeah, sure. If it happens to me, sure, it's a hole in one. That's, I don't know.
Well, we're definitely not playing Plinko out there. So from the other perspective, unfortunately, I would defer to you and agree. It is not a hole in one to bounce one off a cup.
Right. Now, the one thing that we have to deal with nowadays is one thing that we all have to do, regardless of the way the hole is built, is the flag stick stays in. So what is your take on putting with the flag stick in? Is that your thing? Is that not your thing?
So up until, well, let's just say I've never seen a flag stick that has respected my ability to hit it. Okay.
So not treated kindly.
Man, I've hit the flag stick hundreds of times, and I would bet 9 out of 10 times it is very unpleasant to me. So I've been firmly in the pull the flag at all possibility, whenever possible, every time. No questions asked, with the exception of I'm not playing great. I got 40-foot putt. I don't expect to make it, so don't worry about it. I'll just lag one up and make my par or whatever happens. But if we're talking about Rays Cup, I don't think it bothers me. If we're talking about pool noodle, if we're talking about PVC, it bothers me. And it does, because my potential expectation changes. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think I know that there is some sort of data out there that some people have produced that say that you're benefited by leaving the flag stick in. To me, the hole is smaller with the flag stick in because the hole is smaller. So that's my take on the science part about it. For me, I'd rather take it out for a quote unquote makeable putt. So I don't know, say something that's within 20 feet or something like that, you know, something where it's in kind of a semi comfort zone. If I'm far away, I don't care. It's nice to be able to putt up while your partners are trying to get on the green or trying to get their putters out of their bags to come onto the green, and you can putt without penalty. I like that aspect of it. I like that you could use it if you're, if it's a, you know, something that's like a screamer downhill. How many times does that benefit us? Right. I mean, how does that really benefit us? I will say that I played one round this year, two putts I made were from the very edge. One was off the green and one was very edge of the green, like 50 feet and 30 feet or whatever it was. And they both had the flag stick in, and I made both of them, which is nuts. But there are plenty that I've made with missed. Golf is so mental. I would rather pull the stick out when I'm in that like 20 foot range. Anything outside of that, I'm okay. But I'd rather have the darn thing out. I don't think I'll be picky to get back after this, you know, COVID-19 stuff. That's something which will quickly not bother me whatsoever.
I will be eager to start pulling it again and pulling out. I would say the one thing I want to respond to is you talked about the reporting that was done about how the statistics support leaving the flag stick in. And I want to make note for everyone out there that they are refuting statistics and videos that disagree completely. And I feel very strongly about those. So I hope anyone listening along or chat with us about this on the THP community forums, I hope you either give me grief or support me for this, but as soon as that flag stick can come back out again safely, that thing is coming flying out. And I feel good about it, Rob.
I'll take it out too. And I love the best person to play with is, because last year was kind of bizarre to start off. It's like, do you putt with it in? Do you putt with it out? I like it in, you know, and it's like, okay, in. Well, I like it out. All right, I'm gonna take it out. And it's back and forth, you know. I just love playing with the guys. Like, I don't care. I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
I'm taking it out and I'm walking it over here. You know, that type of stuff. So I'd rather do that too.
It was the first thing I asked my playing partners last year. And my question to them was, I'm just trying to find out if I need to get some new playing partners or not.
Yeah. That strongly.
Yeah. So I know, Rob, you had mentioned there are some guys on tour who feel probably strongly, more strongly than I do about this.
There are. There's a couple things out there with how this, you know, golf might come back after this, which why the Premier Golf League is not trying to ramp up right now and come back with like lesser known pros and stuff like that during this with coronavirus testing and all that stuff. They can make a killing, but that's neither here nor there, I guess, because that's dead. But Adam Hadwin was quoted. Now, you love Adam Hadwin. Why do you love Adam?
Well, I have my reasons.
You have your reasons.
Most of them are north of me. Yeah.
Yeah. North of the border, Canadians stick together, man.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy. It's fantastic. Beauty, eh? So Adam Hadwin said that if you can't pull the stick, that might actually make him rethink playing, and it changes everything. So that's just crazy to me. I don't know if it's sticking, if it's no flag stick whatsoever versus having a flag stick in all the time. I think you just have to be happy you're playing pro golf. I mean, come on.
So was this a soundbite or was this like hashtag Twitter strong?
No, it was a Shackelford article.
Okay.
He had a interview with him.
Gotcha. I would bet that the bark is worse than the bite here from Hadwin, but I get what he's saying. And I think, as you mentioned before, golf is probably one of the best sports out there that can resume within reason while we're dealing with this unprecedented time. So why go to such extensive lengths, especially with our abilities? You know, you could have something where there's one person on every hole as a spectator or someone who's watching the hole who pulls the pin themselves is the only person to touch the pin. Someone else who can pull the balls out, wipe them down, hand them back to the pro. I mean, there's tons of ways to get around this from a tour perspective, especially if fans aren't involved.
Yeah, you can have someone do everything there. There was, who was saying it? I think Brooks even said, without fans, we're going to lose a lot of balls.
Yeah, that was a happy quote from me. That made me almost as happy as the haircut I saw you got.
He's got it going on right there. And he threw it right under the run under the but yeah, the Hadwin quote is, if the flagstick stays in the hole, quote unquote, that might make me honestly rethink playing. To me, as a non-tour player, amateur, just loves the game, that's crazy to even think about. And it doesn't make you come off sounding very good, in my opinion. Right? Yeah.
I mean, I want to go off course here for a second.
Yeah.
We saw Koepka in his haircut. We also saw he's rocking, you know, that little thing underneath his nose and above his lip. Did you happen to see that?
Yeah, he's got the Corona stash going on.
Now, we got a good buddy, part of the THP Radio Network, Adam over at Golf Unfiltered. Great podcast, great guy. He was rocking the same sort of thing. And do you think he saw his buddy Koepka and was like, that's what I want to be right there? Or do you think that was him just experimenting over there in Illinois without golf?
Well, he's such a big Tom Brady fan. I figured Brady was growing one or something. He was just trying to be like him. So that was my initial reaction.
That's awesome. Well, anyone who's paying attention, he did shave it off. Our good friend Adam, please go give him a listen over there at Golf Unfiltered.
Yeah, the stash thing, I think it looks more like the guys that I pick for my name the pro game on Twitter. I think that's what it reminds me of, is like the era of mustaches. Had a good Sam Torrance yesterday.
It's not even mustache March either.
It's not. It's mustache May almost.
So I think you had one more quote for us.
Yeah, the other thing, another one which does not make you look good, is basically Scott Stallings saying guys are not going to play for their livelihood with no rakes in the bunkers and no caddies. So what else are you going to do? That's my question. I guess what do you get? It makes it sound like the losers get shot, you know, at the end of the round.
Livelihood. I mean, right.
Everyone's in the same conditions, supposedly. You know, maybe there's some sort of rule where you do a foot rake or something and have a free draw. I don't know.
But it comes down to that same thing, Rob. We have guys, we have people, volunteers that are around the course that can do that raking for them. Even if they're not in the vicinity, even if they wait until they're no less than 20 feet away, and then they're allowed to go in and do whatever needs to be done. And they're,
People don't have anything to do, you know, with businesses closed. So who wants to be bunker boy, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Six. What for Scott Stallings?
It's what? Like, all right,
there you go. You're Scott Stallings bunker boy today.
So here's a follow up to that, and we've seen many courses, more resort courses, have rakes on every golf cart. So what if we changed it around a little bit for the tour guys? Let them have carts, and put a rake in every one of them.
Let them have carts. Oh man, that's just way out of line for PJ Tour. That's not going to happen.
You're talking about not having caddies, but I can't talk about having carts. Rangefinders and beer, and they're basically us, but getting paid for it.
I think you're describing what the Premier Golf League should be. Basically, along with side betting. Imagine that.
Are you saying the XGA Tour?
Yeah, I think that's basically what we're kind of creating. It's like, hey guys, we're happy to be alive. Let's just do some stuff, you know, like let's see what happens. This reminds me of a few years ago, it's probably like 10 years ago at Mirfield, where Nicklaus decided to have wooden rakes and remove, like, I believe that the tines, every other tine in the rake. So what you'd have is, I think they were called furrowed bunkers when you raked it. So you would have these little ruts, and it made it much easier to, it made it much tougher to understand how the ball was going to spin out of the bunker. And pros flipped out because this is pristine America courses, and we're not, that's not what's supposed to happen. The randomness in a furrowed bunker was kind of like too much to take. And I think it died after a year. I think they did it for a year, and I don't know who won, Bart Bryant or something. I don't know who won that one. I could look back, but that's interesting. I mean, you understand now that how I think a lot of pros think, you know, they have these expectations, and when those expectations aren't met, there's some chaos with some guys.
I would not mind, as much as I joked around about the cart, really, if they put some sort of lightweight rake in every bag, they could make it work enough that it would be okay. And I think this does add another conversation to one of our future episodes, is are the tour guys spoiled?
Yeah, there's a few quotes I'm sure we could harvest from out there that would, could probably support it. So, my range is closed, like most things in New Jersey, but you're doing something else on THP called Range Days. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Range Days is actually in its second year. Our first year last year, we did some extensive testing with drivers, and it has to do with eliminating a fitting, eliminating potential variables, playing stock stuff, and just going out there, hitting five balls with each head and talking through the product, the benefits, the design, the experience I had, and my overall results as I moved around the head. We wanted to change it up a little bit this year. So we went to Club Champion up in Chicago and did a ton of iron swings, an absolute ton, to the point where I think months later, I'm still a little bit sore about it. But anyways, we're putting them together now. We have loads of data. We just started our first one yesterday. It will be a part of the weekly THP radio network, as well as being hosted over on YouTube and on the THP forum for discussion. So if you're interested in how a product works and how good or bad I hit it and why, based on the tech that's in there, please definitely check us out and what we're doing with that. I have fellow staff member J-Man working with me on these videos, and they're a ton of fun. Rob, I know you watched it. I know you dissected it. I know you loved it.
I did. You're banging that thing. You've got your swing is nice and it's effortless.
Yeah, I was told all the way through it I had a chicken wing. So
that's fine. It worked for Spieth for 2 years. Don't worry about it. So one item that you're not going to be testing for Range Days is the new Kirkland Signature putter.
Bourbon. Oh, putter.
Well, we can do the bourbon.
I will test the bourbon. I'm not afraid of that. But the putter, yeah, that's creating some interesting conversation out there. I know on the THP forums, it's a hot point. I put something up on Twitter and got some heat over it, not just from my fellow Twitterins, but also from family who follow me on there saying options are good for everyone. And man, it's just one of those things. I think you either love it or hate it, and it depends who you talk to.
Yeah, I notice on your tweets, you kind of bash, but you don't go all the way. So you kind of leave it open-ended for the person to kind of think like, wait a minute, where's he going necessarily with this? Like he said, sure. Like what? Wait, what does he mean by that? Like something like
yeah. They came out with such heat, right? Like what blew my mind about it was listening to guys who weekly played $50 a dozen golf balls and were committed to it without a fitting. Suddenly, they find the deal of the century with Kirkland, and so they're buying these things. You see them on eBay for hundreds of dollars. Defeating the entire purpose.
Yeah, no one's true.
No one's worried about QC. No one's worried about the actual tech that's in them because there's no information outside of what's on the box. And no one cares whether each ball plays differently or not. All they cared about was the price.
The price point, and then somebody hyped it up.
And it blew my mind. Yeah, we had people out there testing the differences against other balls. And I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. And the worst part about it, and we've seen this time and time again about something, someone buys into a product and they will not stop talking about it like they have stock in the company.
Yeah, it's crazy when it gets to that level. I agree. I mean, people went nuts for whatever it was, whether it was old stock, some tailor-made design from years ago, or whether it was just based on that, and you know, who knows? Then they came out with a four piece, and that got ripped to shreds, like literally ripped to shreds. Like when you use it, apparently, with a golf ball, there's who knows what the QC, because you hit on it right there. I've been to multiple golf plants. We're in the industry, we know it. If you can't control the quality, because every ball looks the same to you, you can't tell from the naked eye that this ball is flawed, or there's part of the you know, the angle on the dimples on one side is off, or we just basically it's the cover is sprayed on. You don't know. I mean, if you rip apart a lot of these fringe balls, some of that are very expensive, you look inside, they could be the same damn thing except for the label. So people thought, oh, I've got, somebody said it's really good and it's the deal of the century, however cheap it was. People bought into it, and then boom. Now the putter thing, I'm pretty sure these are not leftovers. It doesn't seem like they're leftovers from someone, but it seems like they're parts from a bunch of different putters that are put together on this thing. And if you, I don't know if anybody's seen there with it, maybe we'll put something up there on our social channels too. So social channels, you can follow us at Off Course THP on both Instagram and Twitter. But if you look at that putter, I don't know exactly what it's based on. It kind of has looked, it looked like some Odysseys. It looked like some TaylorMades. It, you know, that, but it still has the beautiful Kirkland signature logo on the sole. Fantastic, right? That's a good thing. Need a t-shirt of that. If you've ever wanted a putter that comes with a 14 club set, but never wanted to buy the rest of the clubs, this is your putter, man. You can just buy it for, I don't even know what the price point is at Costco.
I thought I saw it was $150. I'm assuming it's $1 for every iteration of putter. They ripped something off to get there.
Yeah, they all threw. I mean, who knows? I mean, I know that putting is it's amazing to me. It's not amazing to me that they came out with a putter, but it's amazing that there's hype about it. Right? People are like real legitimately excited about it.
That's what's rattling me, Rob. It all comes down to the hype. And I had a conversation, like I said, with someone who's not big into golf. He likes the game, but doesn't play it a lot. And I said, look, this might be the perfect golf ball for you. And I don't have a problem with people playing them if that's what they want to do. If they're worried about losing balls, it's probably a good situation. It's a urethane ball, or at least it was at one point. Not a bad thing to put into play. So are recycled balls, frankly. I'm not going to do it, but that's my choice. When it comes down to a putter, especially one at $150 with absolutely no QC explanations, no R&D to explain what's going on, no real understanding of how they produce the product, why not just buy something that came out last year or 2 years ago that's brand new for the same price from a company who invests millions upon millions of dollars into their R&D?
Yeah, you can buy old stock of you know, TaylorMade balls, Callaway balls, Titleist balls, whatever it may be. And those are balls that pros have used in years past. So why not? You know, that's a smarter move for sure.
That's the big talking point. And you know what, maybe out of pure intrigue, I will try this putter when it comes out. I'm assuming someone's going to buy it just to buy it. And I'll see one in the wild at some point. I think it's just reality, but I'll bet you good money that any putter from the top five makers within that 2 to 3 year out time frame and the same price is going to beat it in both quality and sound.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure I have a bag of old stuff here, and I'd rather grab one of those than spend $150, because I just don't think you're going to get the performance benefits out of it. No, who knows with the QC?
There's so the takeaway
out there, guys.
The takeaway here is, would you rather buy, I'm assuming, about 12 bottles of this beautiful premium small batch bourbon that's been aged 7 years by Kirkland, or a putter?
Well, that's a good question. Leave maybe 11 bottles. Got to get those chocolate chip cookies.
Make sure you wear your mask, Rob. I know that's where you're headed tomorrow.
I will. I don't have a Costco membership, so pick up some for me.
Okay.
Well, this putter is everything. Maybe I join that.
Well, I think that might be a wrap on episode number 3. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I think we hit our limit, and we stayed pretty on course this time. There's a couple off there, but thank you everyone for the listen. We thank Squares, SQAIRZ.com for sponsoring the show. We will see you next week. If you want to catch us on social, again, it's Off Course THP on both Twitter and Instagram. And then we have Canada and Golf, and I'm Rob Miller Time. And I think that's it. Any parting thoughts with now open everywhere but like five states?
I do have one more thing to say. If you want us to talk about anything, something you're passionate about, something you want me to say ridiculous things about so you can tear me apart on social, do reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to hear our thoughts on. Outside of that, Rob, I'm going to go enjoy the night knowing that we might actually both get the golf by the end of this weekend.
That's right. Next, maybe next month we're sponsored by K-Sig Small Batch Bourbon.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.